Hey, everybody, it's Jesse Ziegler.
And Quinn Cody.
And we're here at Stage 6 from the Dakar Rally Daily Show, brought to you by Climb Technical Riding Gear. Heck, they even have technical, like, casual wear. I'm wearing a sweet jacket right now that they sent me. It's not
nice.
I'm not riding today. I'm riding a chair.
Yes.
Thanks, Climb.
It has been raining in Southern California.
Oh, man. It's the bomb cyclone.
I think we got our week's worth of rain in 5 days. Or, I mean, a month's worth of rain, a year's worth of rain
in 5 days. Probably a year. Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
It's a big deal when it rains here. Yeah. California can't do anything mellow. It's not like, hey, we're going to have a mellow drought season. No, it's like scorched earth. And then the other side of the coin, it's like, we're going to have a nice rainy winter. Nope. Catastrophic flooding.
Perfect.
It's kind of like the Dakar Rally in a way that nothing's easy. It's always dramatic. It's always chaotic. Even when the top contenders aren't crashing out or having mechanical problems, the race itself is just kind of a chaotic S show sometimes. And today's one of those days.
Yes, it is. And if it's not chaotic on the race course, it's chaotic on the liaison or chaotic in the bivouac.
It's just such a big moving.
If you can find the bivouac.
If you can find the moving target. It's such a big moving organic thing to get all this crap everywhere. And with flooding there and all those directions, they're flopping stages back and forth. They got a marathon coming up. It's just not an easy thing to get.
So we're gonna get into this today, for sure.
It's the big story.
For now, we got to talk about sponsors because they're keeping us going, keeping us getting out of bed every morning.
They're keeping us caffeinated. They're keeping us ready to go. I mentioned Climb already. Of course, they're my favorite sponsor of the show because they're the lead sponsor of the show.
Yep,
they're amazing. I love those guys up there.
And Rally Navigator.
Rally Navigator.
Things possible.
I'm going to start jumping into that thing because I think I got a future in rally racing, and that's how all the pros got good at it. So I figure it's got to be that good of a tool. I can get good at it too.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see about this.
We'll see how good your software is, Mr. Shirley.
Yes. So Rally Navigator is giving away some premium subscriptions for stage winners of the Dakar Derby fantasy game.
Don't forget, join Dakar Fantasy Derby. You can win a prize every day. Doesn't matter. You sign up today, play for Stage 7, and you win, we're going to send you a prize.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if you haven't played yet.
Chainslayer.com/Dakar.
Very easy to find there. Thanks to Ruby Moto's, going to give us some really cool headlights. LED, like just night burning, vegetation melting headlights.
Yes. Very, very good stuff.
Yep. Fast Company's going to give us some handlebars, maybe a spoke wrench. We don't know what they're going to give us.
All kinds of,
something cool.
Kinds of good stuff.
Yep. And boys, a Giant Loop.
Don't forget those.
Giant Loop actually has product in the rally on people's bikes.
This is true.
Supporting some of those American Rally Original guys with some bags, which some of them are using right now to get tools out to fix their bikes.
I'm sure they are.
We'll talk about that in a minute. And then our boy Taco.
Can't forget about Taco.
Don't forget about Taco, Mike.
The hills are prime right now in Southern California.
Yeah.
With wet dirt. And you can be ripping your dual sport bike with some cool Taco Moto stuff.
Yep. So go check out Taco Moto. Have fun with it. And enjoy it while we're sitting here bringing you updates inside of a building. Not riding.
Yes. I haven't ridden this whole year.
it's only the sixth.
Since, I don't know when. Since last year.
Yeah. I haven't ridden since last year either. It's baloney. Good dad joke. All right, let's get into the top 10. We got a new winner today for the rally. And I think that's a new winner every day.
Yep, 7 stages, 7 different winners.
Yeah, if you count the prologue. Stage 0, everybody's got a new winner today. And also, this guy's first Dakar Rally win ever.
Yep.
Pretty amazing. We're talking about Luciano Benavides on the Factory Husqvarna team. Brother to Kevin Benavides. So like, the Argentinians are coming in and kicking some booty. Good job, boys.
Yeah. The Benavides brothers are super good guys and, you know, just really friendly, nice guys from Argentina. Their family actually owns a big KTM dealership down in Salta, Argentina. And they're, really just kind of polite, friendly, nice guys.
Like your co-host.
Yeah.
Not like me at all. They actually do, I think they do tours.
Yeah, I think they have some Argentinian like
adventure and dual adventure sport tours down there.
Down there.
Our friend Simon Cudby over in Off-Road Underground went over there and did some rides. He's good at going places and doing cool rides.
Taking cool pictures.
invoking jealousy. That's what he does. A lot of FOMO when you follow Simon Cudby on Instagram.
This is true.
That's why I unfollowed him. You're unfollowed, Simon. So there. Yeah, great day for Husqvarna.
Yep.
Also, back to Luciano. Jesse totally wrote him off today. Fantasy picks. He's not on my radar to win. He was just like underwhelming me every day. He started 12th today. I think I put him like 10th. I was like, he might get a couple spots.
I think that's almost an endorsement. If Jesse writes you off on the fantasy league,
you're going to have a great day.
Then you're probably going to have a really good day in the rally.
Yes, you are. You're welcome, Luciano.
Yes.
But man, he stepped up. He was riding really strong all day. He was top five every checkpoint or waypoint, and then came through at the last waypoint to pass his teammate, Skylar Howes, for the win. So very cool. We got some stuff from him coming up. Skylar in second. He started fifth, showing us this top five strategy we're going to talk about in a little bit. He's paying off for Skylar. Today's like one of the first days Skylar didn't get lead out bonuses from sharing the lead up there. But again, third place did. Toby Price again in third place after starting in third place, which again, we keep saying that doesn't happen that often in the Dakar Rally.
No. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of a new phenomenon we're seeing here, where the guys that are going out in front are kind of staying pretty close to the front. So the pack's staying really tight. Mm-hmm. I think this new kind of time bonus thing that the ASO has been, you know, implemented this year is really working to keep the race pretty tight.
Yeah, it's making people more comfortable being in that top five, at least. Certainly the guy that leads generally drops a little bit here and there, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, let's get through the top 10.
Get through this.
Bereda came back pretty strong today for fourth place. He started in 14th after his crash yesterday, where he got, you know, T-boned shortly after by a Australian, Toby Price, on accident. I got some messages on Instagram about people wondering why Toby got time back after he ran into poor Joan Bereda out there. I had to clarify, he didn't mean to hit him.
I think really what happened is he got tangled up.
Yeah,
they were Bereda when Bereda crashed.
Yeah, they were probably riding pretty close in proximity and going pretty fast out there.
And yeah, the way Bereda rides, you probably don't want to be anywhere near that.
Lots of crashes going in a lot of different directions, gobbled up the surrounding riders. So yep. Good for Bereda to come back. I think you had him winning today, so I'm glad that didn't work out for you.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Benavides, our second Argentinian Benavides brother, was in fifth today after starting in eighth. He is the opposite in my mind. I keep picking him to win, and he keeps getting fifth place.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, we're kind of in that spot where there's some guys that don't want to win.
Mm.
They just want to hang in there and
strategery.
Get through the race day.
This is what we're going to talk about soon. Yep. All right. Sixth place, Pablo Quintanilla had a good ride, started in seventh, moved up to sixth. He's kicking in there. Man, maybe the ride of the day, the savior ride of the day, was Daniel Sanders coming back today and getting back into the top 10, knocking on top five from 21st today after being sick as a dog yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a recovery. I'm sure he's still feeling the effects of that illness, and he's just, you know, plugging along.
Good job, Sanders. Nacho started second today, ended up dropping some time, but he's still in eighth place, doing really well for the Honda rider. And then I love saying this, Stefan Svitko in ninth place.
Yep.
Privateer guy, legend of Dakar. He's been racing since probably before you were racing.
Yeah, I mean, I raced with Svitko back in 2011-12, and he's been around a long time, and he's a Slovak guy who's just, you know, keeps chugging along, and he's knocking off top 10 stage finishes.
Yeah, great to see. And then Matthias Wagner on the factory KTM in 10th place, and that's your top 10. Any surprises there?
Not really. You know, you see, like, Nacho picked up a lot of bonuses for opening waypoints. So he had 3.5 minutes of bonus time, which really kind of kept him inside the top 10.
Yeah, that's, Nacho's good at that. These bonuses should probably keep building for him, I hope.
Yeah. And then we're missing Mason Klein out of the top 10 today, but he did finish up okay in 12th.
Yep.
Lost a little bit of time, but it, you know, in the big picture, it's not really, you know, I wouldn't say going to damage him in any way. It's just kind of where he is today.
Yeah. And sounds like he had a couple crashes today, we're deep into sand dunes, and you were telling me earlier maybe that's not his strength in riding, is necessarily the softer sand.
Yeah, I mean, he says it himself, is that he struggles a little bit keeping the pace in the big dunes, and that the more experienced guys are pulling away from him in the dunes. So mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of that just comes with experience and time and, you know, fitness. I think that he's been pushing pretty hard these first 5-6 days, and he's probably starting to feel some fatigue. And just being a younger guy, you don't have that foundation, that base fitness to draw upon when things start getting tough. So you fatigue a little bit quicker for the endurance side of things.
Yeah, that grueling day after day after day after day, you know, fuel tank you need to draw from, where people like Toby Price seem to have an endless supply. It's that extra 100 pounds of fuel. I mean,
Toby's got a pretty deep fuel source. And then also just years and years of sitting on a motorcycle, and it kind of just turns your muscles into gristle, and you can ride a motorcycle with very little effort.
They're used to sitting.
When you're that experienced.
So there you go. Mason started fourth today, so not an ideal position traditionally, unless you can pick up some of those bonuses. Right in front of him, Adrian Van Beveren, who started first today, he ended up getting quite a few bonuses, but still dropped out of the top 10. So it sounds like he got basically caught, but still managed to swallow up some time. Maybe had an issue out there.
Yeah, it looks like he let out for a while, because he had, you know, almost 5 minutes of bonus time, but ended up, you know, finishing 11th and about 4 minutes off the stage, you know, win. So I think he would be, you know, 8 minutes. And if without that bonus time, it would put him back
in the 20s,
you know, in the 20s.
So. Yeah. That's the cool thing about that bonus. If you add his 4 minutes that they took off back on there, it really puts him down 21st, 22nd place, which would be a more traditional finishing position for somebody who let out a stage like today.
Yep.
Predictably, not all the time.
Predictably.
Which brings us to the strategy and risk of being in the top five and how that's changing this year. It's not a death sentence for your next stage result if you're in first through fifth place anymore. Doesn't seem to be.
No, I think it's keeping it much more, the top 10 much more compact in as far as time goes. And, you know, but we're still seeing guys like Benavidez and Price who aren't winning stages. And I feel like it's on purpose in a way. I think they want to have a good run, but they don't want to win.
I would assume, coming from the KTM camp, that they've already ran all these scenarios out in their head. Jordy's probably advising them and sending them info on this and that, the next thing. And the other team managers and the personnel there are probably working all this out. There's only a few minutes separating, you know, the top 10 overall. It's 24 minutes total top 10, which is pretty tight for a top 10 Dakar, almost to the rest stage.
Yep, for sure.
Wow.
So and I think, you know, now we're basically six stages in, and we're going to start seeing some fatigue, some attrition. And they made a kind of a forced change to the rally after midway through today's stage. Basically, they had to move the bivouac to the place where it was supposed to be on stage 8.
So we had all the weather basically has made the original bivouac today like impassable. They couldn't get
flooded. They couldn't set it up.
There's pictures of buses and stuff like stuck out there. It looks like a GNCC after it rains, and they got to yank everybody's motorhomes out with the tractors. That was happening today in Saudi Arabia. So the organizer just basically picked up the whole finish line essentially and dropped it into the days. Well, put it into the future where it was supposed to be after stage 8.
Yeah. But that's 300 kilometers further down the road.
It's terrible.
So there was some kind of on the fly calls being made, and you know, it sounds like, I mean, we still have bikes out on the liaison stage because they had a 300 kilometer liaison after the stage.
Yeah, that's 150 miles.
Yeah, and they were only expecting to go maybe 100 or so kilometers after the stage.
Yeah, so like tripled it.
Yeah, massive. So people weren't expecting this, and, you know, a lot of guys are caught out by it. And then tomorrow in the morning, they have to do the same liaison back
to kind of get back into the right mix of finish line to start line.
Yep. And what they were told, as it stands right now, as we record this, tomorrow they're going to make them do a marathon stage too.
just to add to the chaos of your life as a racer.
So imagine this, you're in 70th place. You come in, it's already dark there. You know, it's
You're finishing right about
8 p.m. now. You're just maybe getting in off the liaison. You've been on the bike for 14, 15 hours today.
Oh, by the way, it just started raining and it's about 50 degrees.
Yeah. Now get your crap together, put it in a bag, because tomorrow night you're sleeping in a tent.
And for the first time, if you're not in the original bimotul class.
Yeah. And they weren't expecting this. They were expecting the following night to be marathon. So
they'd thrown a loop at them.
Yes, they have.
Thrown them for a loop.
I think there's going to be some angry folks in the bivouac, especially on the car side of things. And so we'll see if this stands. They may allow assistance to the
marathon bivouac. There usually is no assistance allowed in there.
Right.
Like no motorhomes, no anything like that. A couple of years ago, they let the motorhomes in, but they still couldn't work on their bike. And they make concessions here and there.
And they are, so the original plan as it stands right now, they're going to allow an assistance area before the marathon bivouac. So they're going to give the guys an hour to
work on
their assistance crew there, work on the bikes, you know, get gear, whatever, food, whatever they want from the assistance team. And then they have to enter the... basically park for
impound,
May. Impound the bikes, and then they're all sleeping in tents.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster.
We'll see.
It seems like.
I mean, it's...
The thing about that, it can just compound a small problem into a gigantic problem.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen it happen. You know, there's famous zip ties on tires when the tire rule's in place. And if you have a small issue with something, the marathon stage just... can blow it out of proportion. And with the way these weather and all that stuff's going on, it's just like seems stressful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the top guys, they're going to get back in. They're going to get to their motorhomes. They're going to recover what they can tonight. But there's a lot of guys that are from, you know, 25th place back
that are
still out there right now. And so they're going to come in late. And, you know,
let's hear from our top guys. Because it took them so long to get in, we're missing some info from people. But we do have stage winner Luciano here. Let's hear from him about how his first win went.
Yeah. I want to present you the winner of the stage 6.
That's his brother, Kevin.
My brother. I am so happy for him. First time stage winner. So now we are two Argentinians that won a stage in Dakar. So really, really proud. And yeah, it's been a tough rally so far for me. But yeah, really happy to get the stage win. I pushed all day long. I did my best and it worked out. So I'm really happy.
He's not bummed about the stage at all. He's pumped on it. He thinks that's the best stage of his life because he won.
Yeah, you're always pumped when you win.
Good for him.
It was a great day.
Yeah, it was the best day ever. I don't know what everybody's complaining about.
This was before he had to ride 300 kilometers.
That is true. This was taken at the end of the finish line, which, like I said, was 150 miles at least from the camp. Plus, as we got reports... here, let's just let Skyler tell us. Here's Skyler from the pits. So he made it all the way back and then sent us a voice note.
Sup, dudes? Well, I just finished probably the most brutal liaison I've ever done. It's no Bolivia like the stories I've heard of South America and that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you right now, it wasn't that fun. Yeah, we finished the special. It started out, started out bright and sunny, nice wet dunes, and we went the right direction for the first time, I think, ever in my history of doing Dakar in Saudi Arabia. We've gone the correct direction on the dunes, which means you can, like, jump them and not launch yourself off of them and almost die. So the whole first part of the special was super, super fun, doing like tabletops and doubles and all types of stuff the whole time. I put on a pretty strong pace because I knew the stage was short today, so the times were going to be tight. So put on a strong pace and then got into the neutralization. Saw that I made up some minutes on the guys in front and was kind of in like a pretty decent spot. So from the neutralization back, I just kind of like rode a comfortable pace and didn't really push too hard. So put me in a perfect spot. I am in second on the stage, which was rad because my teammate Luciano beat me by about a minute. And to see how stoked he is on getting a stage win and see his happiness makes me happy. So I'm pretty stoked on that. And then, yeah, the liaison back was 300 kilometers because our other bivouac is flooded out. So they made us come all the way to Riyadh. And, yeah, probably the last 100 kilometers or more. I don't really know. I was just suffering the whole time. It started raining, so it was super cold. Rain. And then the road book's wrong. So they gave us a new road book to get into the bivouac because it's, you know, a different spot, and there's like three notes missing out of the road book. So I lucked out, and the guys in front of me were like, yeah, 30 minutes ahead of me, and they went all the way down and realized that the road book was wrong, came back, and Van Beveren had his phone and typed in the GPS coordinates and got us back to the bivouac. But if people don't have a GPS, like, or like Google Maps or something like that, they're full loss. Like, there's no way. It's missing three notes, like three, like right turns. You have to like turn off highways and stuff. And there's thousands of people out there. Like, the traffic is bananas right now. There's so many people in the dunes and stuff. It's pretty carnage. Like, the last 20 kilometers of the specials always have like hundreds of people just driving around. And it's not like in South America, they would line the race course and kind of stay out of the way. Like, these people find wherever the line is and drive on the line or across it, and half the time it's the police that are trying to, like, you know, keep people away. They're just driving around on the course. And today we had like 100 people driving backwards on the road going into the finish. So it's like, it's pretty hairy out there. It's kind of carnage. And then even the liaison is freaking insane and super I don't know, it's gnarly. But I'm freezing cold, so I literally just got back to the camper, so I'm gonna hop in and take a nice hot shower and eat some soup, and yeah, take it easy, guys.
Wow.
Poor Skyler.
So, yeah, and that's after 916 kilometers of riding.
Of bike time.
Yeah.
I think he was on the bike. Top finishers started at 4 a.m., and they were on the bike for 12 hours today. That's a half day ride.
Yeah.
It's half of 24.
Easy.
Scary about all the locals on the course in vehicles ripping around out there.
Yeah.
Couldn't imagine that being a terrible situation.
It seems like, you know, the race, I think the first couple of years in Saudi, people didn't really know what it was and there wasn't that much exposure. And so the spectators weren't really an issue. But I think now it's become more popular and people are starting to kind of cue in on where the race is happening and
sure,
get out there and trying to watch. And
I don't blame him for that.
Makes it dangerous.
Makes it dangerous. It's hard to put a ribbon up on, you know, 400 kilometer special stage. Yeah. It'd take a lot of ribbon.
Not possible.
Not possible. At least he has a warm shower tonight.
Yeah. A lot of other guys, no showers.
Most of the people coming in behind him. Well, not most of them. Some of them are going to have showers. There's showers in the bivouac and stuff, but
yep.
So not that nice.
Interesting thing you said about the dunes too, is that he was going the right direction in the dunes. And what he was talking about there is basically, you know, the dunes, there's always a prevailing wind and it blows the dunes a certain direction. And if you're going either like into the wind, then you're going up these really steep, gnarly faces and it's really physical, a lot of work and hard to keep a flow.
Softer on the leeward side of that. Because all the fluff is blown over the top of the
If dune. You're going downwind, then you have like vertical drops that you have to go over.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a certain sweet spot in between where if you're going the right direction, where it's kind of an angle to the wind and you can ride the crowns and drop over at an angle and then it's really fun.
Cool. There's like jumps and landings.
Jumps and the dunes are a little bit more packed. And so, you know, it's interesting to hear that because there have been sections where you have like 40, 50 kilometers and you're just smashing into the face of dunes for hours waiting
to go over the bars all day.
Yep.
Just watched while you were talking. I just started ignoring you like I normally do. And I started watching some videos and there's a really cool video of Skyler jumping today. Just mute it though. The music is terrible. I think it's I Believe I Can Fly by somebody. It's not appropriate. We need to get those French guys into some better music.
Right.
That was terrible. But just mute it. Watch the Skylar dune surfing.
Ripping the dunes. And you can see Dakar some of the cars. And
you can see the locals. Locals in the background. Sketchy. So that's their second place finisher. It's early. I can't talk.
Let's, and, you know, just looking at the live tracking right now and
live update,
I can see there's still people on the liaison that are lost in Riyadh that are looking for the bivouac.
So they haven't really solved this.
Clearly. Issue. There's still some issues going on there. I mean, I imagine that, you know, that people will be out there kind of telling them where to go, but it seems like people are doing a big circle just outside of Riyadh and, hopefully they get it figured out, or the ASO gets somebody out there to direct traffic.
Because these are the guys that, you know, they need every minute they can get in the pits tonight. Yeah.
This is not helping things.
Let's hear from Toby, who's had another great day, finishing third. And this will round up our podium of interviews. Here's Toby Price.
This is going to be a long day, but we feel good. We had that crash yesterday and... a little sore in the back. Just taking it a little bit easier on it today. And then, all in all, everything is going well so far. So, long way to go.
Tomorrow, it will be a marathon stage.
Wow, thanks for reminding me. tomorrow is a marathon stage. So, hopefully it's not as cold as it has been the last few nights. So, we'll wait and see, but... tomorrow is a big one that really kind of counts. You got to make sure you look after the bike and get through a second day on the same motorbike. So, we'll wait and see, but all in all, we're happy and having fun.
Thank you.
Is he having fun?
Yeah, he didn't sound too bad there, but interview him in a couple hours after he gets off that 300-kilometer liaison.
Is he having fun? Still out there, Toby Price.
I don't know.
I bet he's determined to win, but I don't know if fun. I think it's gonna be fun. I bet the end of day is pretty fun.
Yeah.
when you forgot some of the day already.
Cool.
Speaking of people that are trying to forget about today, there's, you know, our favorite interviewee, or
we need to talk
voice dropper
about
Paul
this.
Neff. He's still on the race course dealing with an electrical issue, is the report we're getting from him.
Yeah, this is tough for Paul for sure, because, you know, he's out there, he's stopped, he's been, you know, I think messaging with his wife and with some people, but he's got an electrical problem. He's not giving up. He says he's going to fix it and keep going.
And he is not the last person on course.
No, it looks like there's another guy still out there. But yeah, he's back, you know, with the big trucks. And you know, the thing is he doesn't have like an assistance truck back there that can help him or anything. Mm-mm. So
no, he's
whatever's going on, he's got to figure it out himself. And
at the mercy of other people's help.
Electrical issues are tough. You know,
it's hard to diagnose that in the sand dunes when it's dark.
Yes. And
probably raining.
Yeah.
And he's... 400 plus kilometers away from home.
Right. Even if he gets it running right now, he's still got another, you know, really basically he's got 400 kilometers to go.
At least, and
so another 100
of that is
in
the sand dunes.
Yeah.
It's not a great time right now if you're Paul Neff. No. And for us, because we're not getting our epic Paul Neff insight into the race. We want him to get that thing going and get finished.
Yeah, he's got other things to do right now. He's dealing with bigger problems.
Definitely.
So let's just hope that Paul gets that thing running, and you know, we'll try to update you guys on Instagram and see if we get any more news from Paul throughout the day.
Yeah, which brings us to maybe an update on all of our Americans that are out there in the race.
Run through that.
We had, you know, we had most Americans ever at a Dakar rally start this. 11.
Yeah, I think 11 at the start.
11 at the start. We got like five or six in that rally original class doing the Ironman thing.
So Skylar and Toby are still, I mean, sorry, Skylar and Mason are still at it up near the front of the race.
Yep, way up in the front. And then going down the rankings, Jacob Argebright, next placing American. He's 27th today. Looks like he, you know, kind of stayed consistent. He dropped a couple spots today. We're not really sure what happened to Jacob today, but probably just a long day in the saddle.
Yeah, just a long, tough day.
Next after him is Wolfie Racing legend, East Coast Rally boss. We're talking about Peter Angelo. He's 73rd today. So I know he's had a couple crashes. I know he's been battling some pain, but he's a tough dude.
Yeah.
So he's out there crushing it still. And then next, Mo Hart, who we have been talking about being the last guy every day. He is not the last guy today.
Mo's letting us down today. He's
not. He's disappointing us by finishing better than last.
Yeah, he finished, looks like 93rd today.
Mm-hmm. 93rd, not the last finisher.
Maybe he's like, you know what? I think I just want to get to the bivouac and go to sleep.
Yeah, I'm not worried about results. I got to get home, sleep, and see what happens tomorrow. And then we have James Pearson after him, 99th.
99th.
And then Paul Neff is just a big question mark.
Yep.
We're not counting him out yet, but he's not finished. Right now,
James is our last American left in the race.
Yep.
So we've lost so far Ricky Brabeck.
Right. Ricky Brabeck went out on stage 3 with a crash, pain in the neck. Luckily, okay.
Yep.
Then stage 4, we lost Kyle McCoy. End of stage 4. He finished that day. Thought he just sprained his ankle, but turns out he had a broken leg.
Broken leg.
Big difference between a broken leg and a sprained ankle. So he had to pull out. And then on stage 5, we lost 2 American bros.
Yep.
We lost David Pearson and Ace Nilsson.
Yep.
Not a good day. Stage 5 was not our best day.
Back and neck injuries for those guys. They're okay. I think
Ace is in the hospital. Probably still in the hospital. He had a few fractures in his back that were not... I don't know. They just wanted to observe them.
Yeah. I mean, so they're basically transverse process fractures, which are the wings that come off of your spine. So it's nothing neurological or dangerous, and they stay stable. They don't require surgery or anything, but they're keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, but then he had some, what was the other one?
I think sternum rib fractures, which are painful.
That's hard to breathe.
Yep.
Yeah. So shout out to Ace. We hope you're feeling better as soon as possible. And then David had a neck injury. Well, neck impact, but he has a previous neck injury, it sounds like, that he probably was concerned about, similar to Ricky.
Yeah, I think he has some hardware in there. So, unfortunately, David Pearson's out of the rally as well.
Yeah, so we're dropping. The attrition is happening. It's not unlikely. This race does that, but it is kind of bummer to see so many of our Americans that had such high hopes to finish, and all the investment they made and time and everybody pulling for him. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But you know, in a way it's to be expected. I mean, I never expected this original thing to be a cakewalk for anybody.
No,
right?
No, it can't be. It's there's a reason nobody from America has finished it, I guess. And it's cause it's really freaking hard and you don't have the benefits of those teams and you are struggling on your own every day.
We're not even halfway and already half the guys are, out of the race.
Let's hope the other guys can keep carrying the flag.
We used to joke about it, but the ASO, we would always say, the ASO would always try to make the first few days really tough to get these guys out of the race so they didn't have to feed them as long at the bivouac.
Because they're cheap.
Yeah.
They don't want to feed anybody.
Save money.
Well, let's get there, Paul. Go get some dinner. We're pulling for Paul Neff here to get out of the desert.
Yeah, yeah. We got to get Paul in there, let him get his money's worth.
We've had quite a few, like, overall in the race. I think we have 109 or something left, 110.
There was 109 starters today, and then I don't know what after this stage. We'll see.
So not quite 20 total probably have dropped out.
Yep.
Those numbers bounce around.
And the other one we lost today, which is another bummer, is Sandra Gomez.
Real big bummer because her and Miriam Pohl, as we talked about yesterday, were really battling, you know, in the women's classification.
Yep.
And nothing. Sandra didn't crash. She didn't make navigation mistakes. She had a bike issue before the stage started.
Yep.
And she couldn't get there in time to start.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't let her start.
Really too bad. I'm not sure exactly what the time cutoff is, but I know, you know, if you have a problem on the liaison and you don't make your start time, then they start bumping you back. But once you reach a certain
threshold,
then you're out. You're not allowed to start.
Ah, that's such a bummer for her because she's such a boss out there.
Yep. So now our only woman left is Miriam Pohl.
Yep.
you know, Dutch rider. She's very, very experienced, and I think she's just going to, you know, keep cruising in. She finished 45th today.
That's impressive.
That's awesome.
That's really good. I mean, finishing is amazing today after the chaos that they threw at them, and, or any day, let's be honest.
Yeah, and she, I mean, yeah, she, think about that, 45th. She beat all the American Rally original guys, all the, you know, like.
Yeah,
she's crushing it. And Miriam, I sent her a note, but I know she's still out on the liaison right now, but we're going to try to get some quotes from Miriam before the end of the rally.
There's another female racer in the original by Moltul class.
Oh yeah. She doesn't show up in the,
she doesn't show up in the regular rankings very often.
In the women's class.
Right. She doesn't show up in the women's class. So she's kind of hard to find in the results.
Yep. We'll do some research on that and try to figure out exactly who our original woman is and if she's still in the race.
Yeah. It'd be great to hear from her. We actually reached out to Miriam on request.
Yep.
From my wife and other people that said, hey, we should talk to the ladies out there. And we said, heck yes, we should. So we reached out to her. We'll see if we can get some quotes from her in the next few days. Hear how that all experience right. is. Bummer about everybody that's out. Positive is we're going into stage 7. That's also going to be an S show for the next couple of days for everybody. So there's going to be plenty to talk about. Good for us. Not great for everybody racing.
Yeah. So tomorrow, stage 7 is technically, this was supposed to be stage 8.
Yeah, right. This is going to get confusing, by the way.
They flip-flopped it. So we're riding stage 7, stage 8 tomorrow for stage 7, if right. that makes any sense at all.
Right. Just basically,
it's from Riada to Al Duadim.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said that.
I think you nailed it. Al Duadim.
Al Duadim.
Yep. And then the next day, after a marathon, they're going to go back to what was originally stage 7's day and race that back to Riyadh.
Yep.
And then Riyadh's rest day.
Exactly.
It seems like it's a long day to rest day still.
Yeah. Yeah.
A long, couple long days.
With a marathon in the middle. So tomorrow is going to be 861 kilometers.
Holy crap.
So they're going to head out on that 288 kilometer liaison, the same liaison that they rode today.
They're literally backwards.
And then they'll race a 333 kilometer special. And then they have another 240 kilometer road section after the special.
Holy crap. I thought today was unmatchable at 920 kilometers or whatever it was, but that's not like 860 is that much better.
No, not really. And first bike leaves at 4 a.m. again.
Mother humpers. So
these boys need to get in and get to bed.
Holy bananas.
As soon as possible. And, you know, from the look of things, Paul Neff, if he gets his bike running right now, he's going to be not getting much sleep tonight.
He might make the start time.
Yep.
Course, so tomorrow, mix, there's quite a bit of soil, quite a bit of dirt, but also dunes and sand. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to predict here.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to predict. You know, we've got, it says 13% dunes, 63% soil, which that could mean anything really in this, in this rally so far, but what it sounds like is it'll probably be a little bit more on tracks tomorrow.
Right.
So it might benefit a guy like Mason Klein, who's maybe a little bit better when there's tracks and stuff like that.
Yep. I don't know how to take that information and turn it into advice for your Dakar Fantasy Derby picks, but the results are up for today's stage.
They are.
And Ben King is the leader right now, you know, provisional.
Provisional.
He nailed Skyler. He nailed Toby. He nailed Pablo, getting some big bets there. Roy Longmire from Canada, another Canadian,
yep.
dominating our game here in second place. He had a great day. And then third place, we got to talk about this guy. It's Gnarly Dave.
Gnarly Dave.
Come on, Gnar.
Gnar. Yeah, Gnar. He's getting on, getting close to the podium there, and you know, Gnar's a guy who's been out building road books for Johnny Campbell and the Honda boys, and you know, he's been riding around on my old rally bike from 2012.
The Dakar Bomber is yep. in Gnarly Dave's garage.
Johnny basically handed that thing over to Gnar, and he's been out building road books on it.
Still ticking along, thanks to Gnarly Dave's pristine care of your old bike.
Yep. Still cruising. I don't see Jesse Ziegler on the board.
Come on. Like, why are we talking about this?
Where did Jesse Ziegler finish.
You got to keep scrolling down to the 80s.
I think I was in 28th.
I got 84th.
I did okay. I guess that's not so bad.
84th?
Top 100?
Yeah, that's good for me. If we look at my trajectory and improvement from the last 2 days to now, it's much better than yours.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You.
I made $1,190 today.
I only made $460.
So I did all right. I got three right.
I don't know how. I got a lot right, but I mean, I got paid for a lot. I only got one right. Yeah, anyway.
Well.
I'm beating Kelly Vestal.
You know.
Shout out to Kelly.
My 7-year-old daughter last night came up with an idea for the fantasy league. She said, I want to be able to bet on how bad Jesse's going to do.
Thanks.
She says, we need to start a separate league on the side to see where Jesse's going to finish.
How many is Jesse going to get right?
And are you going to beat Jesse, Dad?
Yes. Again. Hey, I'd like to give myself some props for beating my brother, Jake. Ooh. You're in 97th, Jake.
This is a milestone.
Suck it, Jake. Man, I beat a lot of people. I could just keep calling out here. That's the best part about this game is calling out your buddies or your mortal enemies.
Having fun with the fantasy league. Maybe next year we'll add in a feature where you can kind of create your own little side leagues and whatnot, like these fantasy sports nerds.
Yeah, I'm sure Radek's really looking forward to building more stuff for us.
Yes, Radek is. We can't thank Radek enough for taking all of his free time and building this and then maintaining it.
And
this isn't something that maintains itself and auto populates every single day. It's
not a robot.
No, he's in there cranking out these results and he's adding new features too. You know, we have the compare feature.
Yes.
So you can actually click on the winner of the day and compare their picks to your picks and see what they got right and what, you know, versus what you got and how much they bet and everything else. So,
or as I like to call that button, the depressing button.
Yeah.
It shows me how bad I am at things. But I'm not as bad as my wife today. She's 128th. And I'm not as bad as Sean Finley, who's actually in that room over there. Like a true podcaster, I want to keep talking about myself.
Right.
And how important I think I am. I beat a lot of people. I beat Casey Lytle.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Motocross, Supercross legend, Casey Lytle.
Yep.
Hey, Casey, I haven't won a Supercross, but I'm better at this than you. Ha.
Huh. Huh, can't
feels
imagine.
Good. Feels good beating people today. I'm not going to lie to you.
Casey told me last night he was going all in on the winner. He was going to bet all $124 on first place.
Well, it didn't work out. I beat you.
Hey, Casey, you need to rethink that strategy because your score actually multiplies.
Yeah.
The more guys you get right. So if you get three right, then
you get three times your money.
There's multiplication factors there. So
I beat Cato.
Think about that.
I beat Cato, the legendary photographer, Mark Correa. I beat Ken Durr. I beat Scott Myers today. What's up, Scott? You were so confident earlier.
Look at this.
How was your day?
Jesse finishes inside the top 100 one time, and he's calling people out.
I beat Nick Garvin, who's also a fast racer.
All right, that's enough gloating here. We got...
I beat Bjorn from Rever. Like,
so
you guys...
if you want to beat Jesse, go to chainslayer.com/Dakar and sign yourself up. There's still plenty of time. You can win stages. We're giving away prizes for stage wins.
Yes, and we're going to give away big prizes for rest day win and championship win at the end of it. But honestly,
the leader at rest day, the general classification leader at rest day is going to get a killer prize and the overall winner at the end of the rally.
You could still win the overall no matter when you start. You could win the overall in 2 days. The leader right now is $5,000.
Yep.
And we saw one guy make like $4,000 in one day. So don't worry like you're behind. Enter now, start playing. It's super fun. And make me shut up by beating me. That's the only way I'll shut up is if I lose.
Let's shut Jesse up. There's and if you go to stages and click on say stage 7, you can open up the map. You can see the map for the day. You can see the total distances. So we've again built in some cool new stuff. So check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Try to keep up. We're going to try to keep up with this crazy race again tomorrow. And man, stay tuned. I don't have anything else to talk about today.
That's it. I got to get to work.
I've talked about myself.
Getting ready to run late.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.